Quickly, let's turn to the book of Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'll re-preach my message last week somewhat and then add a few things to it. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, it says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything, we've been looking at this for the past few weeks, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Then it goes on and says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, it says honest, just, if they're lovely, pure, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise in these things, think upon these things, or think on these things. And so we're looking at it that Paul here was saying that no one should entertain thoughts of anxiety about anything. We shouldn't harbor fearful thoughts of impending, you know, evil or loss or damage about anything or the outcome of things. But instead of doing that, what we should do is that we should go to God and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and we've explained those words, we should make our requests known unto God, and that God will respond to that by filling our hearts with his peace concerning that particular thing, which means he will communicate with us. He didn't tell us, first of all, on the outside, changing anything, but that he will, all right, answer with a peace that passeth all understanding. And the nature of this peace is such that he went on and said that you should spend, all right, your time, all right, your mind should be occupied with thoughts that have this quality and have this character, which means the character must be, all right, the thoughts must, you know, have, they must have this type of quality here. This is what you should, all right, think upon. That think upon these things because it is consistent with getting the results of the prayers that you have offered up, that answer of peace on the inside. In order for you to have what we call a manifestation or outward showing, all right, without on the outside, you've got to continuously maintain a particular type, all right, or quality of thoughts until the manifestation of that particular thing. That what goes on in your thought life has everything to do, all right, with manifestations and events that you are going to see within your life. And so it says God will answer and place peace on the inside, and then what you've got to do is to think, all right, upon these things. And we saw in the book of Jeremiah that when God answers, he says that when you pray, he said to us that the thoughts that I have towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So when you have an expectation and you pray unto God, and he says you come and you cry unto me with all of your heart, he said, I will release these thoughts that will give you that expected end. And these are thoughts of peace here. He says, and not of evil. So we see that when God answers prayers, and Paul got his revelation from this kind of passages, when God answers prayers, right, he will send his thoughts. For it said that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher, so are my thoughts higher. And as rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes it bring forth and it becomes fruitful, he says, so will be my word. A word, God's word, is his thoughts that are uttered. So he says, my thoughts will rain upon the soil of your heart, and it will cause powerful things, right, to spring forth in your life. Major events will occur within your life from those thoughts. So it's important that we know the role, all right, what we think about, and continuously plays in terms of manifestations within our life. That's why James said that a man cannot afford to be double-minded. If he is double-minded, that man should not think that he is going to receive anything from the Lord. That once a person is double-minded, which means within their mind, they're harboring two types of thoughts. Right? Today they think right, tomorrow they think wrongly. It says that that man should not even consider it for a moment that anything is going to show up from God in the life of that particular person. That tells us, all right, the power of our minds when it comes to what goes on within our lives. That's why in Romans chapter 12, God said to us that we shouldn't be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewal of our minds. The word transform there means change the form of your life by the renewal of your mind. God says, if I take away the old thoughts and then I put in new thoughts. If you have certain thoughts, let's say in your marriage, those thoughts have now created the form that people can see. That in order to change that, I needed to change, right, the thoughts that are going on within your mind. It's just like going to a mechanic and you say, well, this is the way this car is functioning. And then he says, I've got to change some parts within the car and the car will work well. So he's saying we've got to renew. We've got to change some of the thoughts that are on the inside. Take away the old thoughts and replace them with new thoughts. And if we do that, it says the form of your life, the outward appearance of your life is going to dramatically change. The things that are going on the outside are really going to change. And that's why in answer to prayer, what he does is that he is sending, all right, thoughts to us, right? And these thoughts are contained in his word. A word is another thought. And the word of God here, the Bible, is the summation of the thoughts that God has. Not everything that God knows, but the summation of thoughts that God has for man in this present dispensation, all right, in his dealings with man. So what he has here, we have redemptive thoughts. We have thoughts that deal with our salvation. Those thoughts are contained in the word of God that he has given to us, right? And, you know, as we meditate upon these things, and as we embrace these thoughts, then transformations begin to occur within our mind. So it tells us in the book of Timothy, if you can find that scripture, you can put it on. It says, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting might appear unto all. Which means that if you meditate upon these things that Paul gave Timothy, he said, and you give yourself wholly to them, your profiting will appear unto all. It will become visible unto all. And so it says things becoming visible in your life has to do with what is going on in your mind, in your thought life. And so we said last week that the reason why any thought or a thought comes, all right, to us, right, is that it is seeking for expression through us. So when God communicates his thoughts, right, the thought has come not just to be there, but is seeking to gain expression through us. That what are we are earthly hosts for thoughts that are born in the realm of the spirit so they can materialize. Now, whether the thought is godly or whether the thought is demonic, whether it is positive or whether it is negative, every thought that comes to us comes, all right, with the intent of being expressed, all right, through us. Now, here is the issue here. If a thought comes to me that I should pick up this monitor, because I can do it, I will go ahead and I will pick up this monitor and give expression to the thought. But then when the thought that God gives to you, let's just give an example now. God now says, all right, I've revealed to you Covenant Christian Center should be 200,000 members. All right, now I don't know what to do to give expression to that thought. So I have to operate in faith, all right, in order for that thought to materialize. Now, I know what to do to pick up this monitor so I can go and do it. But when God said to Abraham, a father of many nations have I made thee, Abraham had no clue as to what he ought to do in order to become a father of many nations. If God says you will expand to this level, then you say, well, I really don't know what to do, all right, in order for that to be made visible on the outside. If I knew, I will do it. And it always, and don't forget this, it will always result into you doing something in order for things to change in your life, which means that there are certain things you will do in order for things to change. And so the process of faith brings you to a place, final place of obedience to what you ought to do in order for that particular thing to change. And there is nothing that is beyond God. In other words, when you go to God in prayer, he says, let me start with the raw materials that I also used to create the heavens and the earth that Jesus used while he was on the earth. Jesus said, it's what I hear, it is what I see. He said, so I'm giving you the same thing. Now let us go through the same, all right, process there. So I want to look at it. When God communicates his thoughts and we don't know what to do and it is beyond us completely, then what are the steps that we need to take in faith in order for that thought, all right, to materialize within our lives? We've seen it said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them that their profiting might appear unto all. So we are earthly hosts of these things. Thoughts that want to come. Last week we looked at it. A thought comes. Every form of wealth is a thought that entered into a man, and then the man gave expression to that thought. All right? For somebody to have formed, let's say, cement, all right, and created the idea, he started with an idea, which means people were using mud to build houses, and he looked at it, this is so weak, it collapsed. Can't we find another material to create strong and solid structures? That was the thought. It was beyond him, but after some time, he discovered what to do in order for that thought. And there's nothing you have in your heart. This is what I'm saying. There are simple steps you need to take. Now, the steps, you might not know them, but they are simple steps, and they are not difficult steps. And the essence of faith is the salvation of your soul, where you come to know the steps or the things that you ought to do in order for this kind of thought, all right, to materialize within your life. So there are thoughts that are seeking, right, for expression. A man who steals is a thought that comes to him. And the thought is seeking, all right, for expression in the life of that person, which means it has an intent. It says that you have needs in your life. And the thought comes, all right, which is a demonic thought. If you deprive somebody else of what they have, then you can get your own need met. And so the person chooses to go with that thought and implement, all right, that particular thing. Another person also has that same need, and a thought comes to that person, and he says that, listen, I will go with God's way of doing this, that I will work with my own hands that I might have, not just to get my own needs met, but I will have to give even to him that is in need. So he goes through the pathway of God and he chooses that particular thought. Now, one other thing about a thought when it comes from God, it comes with the intent also, which means that when God gives you thoughts, he tells you, this is the reason why I'm telling you these things. This is the intent of it. In Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. So not only is the thought, all right, shown you, but the intent there. All right, James said that when you pray, sometimes you don't get it. He said the reason is because you ask amiss to consume it upon your lust, which means the intent is wrong, right? So God tells you this, the intent here. Right? And the word intent, you can see, is powerful. That's where the force is. What is the purpose behind the realization of this particular thing? So that when you begin to make your declarations, all right, about that thing being fulfilled, also the purpose, all right, for that thing being fulfilled and wrought in your life is stated clearly in your words, and that gives force and power or intent there, all right, to what you are doing. Remember when they toiled all night, caught nothing, then they caught that great haul of fish. There was God's intent behind that. It wasn't to go back and eat the fish or to go back and tell people, look, folks, you know, I have fish here and all of that. He says, from now on, you shall catch men. So the intent of God is that you are going through certain things and God has looked at your network and said, if you get out of this situation that is considered to be impossible, add the words of your lips when you preach, all of these people will get saved. For you have a testimony that is clearly beyond their reach. All right? And that's the intent of God behind that. Which means that you will be able, all right, to reach certain people. You will be. But you've got to know the intent, right, of God behind it. So you are declaring. And that's what aligns your will with the will of God in the fulfillment of it. So what's the first thing you do when God begins to put his thoughts into your heart? When you pray about things and God now begins, all right, to show you thoughts, right, inside his word and begins to put thoughts into your heart. We saw in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, all right, Jesus said this. He said to us, he said, therefore take no thought saying. Now the first form, all right, which thought, all right, therefore will find, which means the first form of its manifestation, the first way, the first appearance, the first thing that that thought that is seeking for expression. It knows you don't understand how it will happen, but here, this is the first step you should take, all right? It's yearning that you do this. It's pushing on the inside, kicking that you will do this, which means is that you will change your language, the words you speak, and make them consistent with our thought, right? And this determines the importance of words, which means begin to declare me out of your lips. And we'll see this as an existing fact within your life, as something that is already happening, even though, right, and that's what Paul called calling into existence those things that be not as though they are. That is the first form in which thought, all right, wants to take within your life. And Jesus said, therefore, take no thought saying. So we take thoughts, all right, by the words we speak. So whichever thought we accept will be reflected in the words that we speak. So when a thought comes to you to do a negative thing, what you've got to do, we'll see this, is to take the godly option concerning that thought. All right? So you take the thought by declaring. Matthew 15 and verse 17 makes it clearer. And it says in Matthew 15, 17, here's reading from 16. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into a man's mouth goes into his belly, that's his stomach, and is cast out as draught. But those things which proceed out of his mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. In other words, they change the man. So the man was defiled. So the state of that man got worsened by the words that he spoke. In the same way, it can improve the state of the man. In the same way, his words can elevate the man. In the same way, the words can lift that man. And then he goes on and tells us, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. So he says, it is those things which proceed out of the mouth that come forth from the heart, and those are thoughts. So the first thing thoughts want to do is that they want to come out, all right, of your lips. They want you to speak them, right, out of your lips. And this shows the importance of words, which means words are the bridges, all right, to the next level that we'll get to. They are the first, therefore, manifestation, all right, of that thought that God has given. They are the vessels in which these thoughts, all right, are carried there. And so it is important. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's important, all right, that we understand this. Paul taught this and said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is something that has now become, one of the definitions, a habit that your will can no longer, all right, control. Which means at the beginning, it might have been under the jurisdiction of your will. Which means if somebody is taking drugs and is addicted, it has become a stronghold. But the first time the person started taking drugs, it was under the control of their will. They decided to do it. A thought came and they did that. But with repetition, what happens is that it can get ingrained on the inside and it gets to a particular place within the system of the man that the will no longer can even take it out. And so it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, all right, but they are mighty to the pulling down of those strongholds, casting down imaginations, these are images about the future, and then bringing into captivity or bringing into subjection every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it says we bring every single thought, right, to the obedience of Christ. So if a man wants to get something done, he must understand that every thought he harbors from that moment, this is what Paul was teaching them. All right, he said, think upon these things. Only think on these things. Every thought that you harbor, all right, every time you consciously think, all right, about that thing, every time your thoughts begin to wander, he says they bring their thoughts in a subjection or in captivity to the obedience of Christ. If we will harbor only thoughts that are consistent, all right, with the thing that we are believing God for now, nothing will be impossible to us. That is where the real Christian discipline is, which means that you only allow thoughts in you there that are consistent. So if somebody, you know, is believing God for growth and increase, they only have thoughts, they only allow thoughts that reflect that nature of increase to dwell on the inside of them. They will not allow any thoughts, if they even read something in the newspaper, all right, that tells them, all right, that based on this thing you've read here, you will not be able to get that increase. They cast down that particular thing, I'm sure they do that, and they make sure it's only the thought of their increase that stays within their heart.
Thank you for listening.